Welcome to Hometown Highlights, where we sit down with professionals, business owners, and community members. There are so many unique and incredible stories in the individuals and businesses that surround us every day. Here on Hometown Highlights, we bring attention to these stories and bring them to the spotlight. We also want to thank our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. We appreciate their support in creating this podcast. Now, let's jump into the conversation.
We want to welcome you to another episode of Hometown Highlights. We have a very, very special guest today, a girl named Tom. Hard to give them an introduction. They're from Pettisville, Ohio. They've just won The Voice here at the end of 2021, and somebody that is near and dear to Dominic's heart. So, Dom, how are you doing today?
Good. Doing great. Best I've ever been.
Good. And a girl named Tom, as we'll approach all three of you. How are you guys today?
We're feeling good. We're excited to be on the show. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So let's start off with some icebreakers. Are you guys Apple or Android users?
All of us Apple.
Well, there we go. Are you Apple everything, like phone, watch, iPad?
Don't own watches.
Yeah,
I have an iPad from probably like 2013 or something, and then and then phones and
you're on a MacBook computers. Right now. So
are there even any other type of tablet though? Like,
yeah, we used to have an iPod actually, and our dad got it for us. This was like way long ago, like the first iPod, and he was like, "Now this is not an iPod though, it's a Wii Pod," and we shared it between the three of us.
Yeah.
That's great, a Wii Pod. That's the first I've heard that. That's cool. And then are you morning or night people?
Night.
Yeah. Night. Can you tell?
Yeah. This is still
very
morning.
Early morning.
This is 11. Still morning for us.
Rooster's still crowing.
It's 11 in the morning. I love it.
Probably still on maybe a little bit of that California time to give me a little
true.
Benefit of the doubt. You know,
we'll say that.
We'll say that.
So it's eight. Yeah, you guys. That's fair.
Yeah,
I can get into that. So you guys were born and raised in Pettisville, Ohio. So you guys all went to high school together in some form or fashion. What was it? Small town. I mean, it's really unexplainable unless you're from a small town, and everybody on this call is. What was that like with the support that you guys had through your journey here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I mean, it starts back before we even went on The Voice. Like, when we became a band, people showed up to every little gig we went to, and they supported us and listened to our videos, you know. And it's meant so much to have had that support when we were very non-popular, you know. And then getting the national recognition too, just how much it means to have that hometown support in the wake of the national mm-hmm. attention too. It's
right.
Like a different thing in the heart.
And way long before being a band, the
That's
community
true.
Was all about,
right.
You know, young people sharing their gifts to the community. Mm-hmm. Dom knows really well, like people cheered him on at sporting events mm-hmm. so hard, and like, strangers almost, like people who normally wouldn't have a reason to come, they knew your name, like you were a household name. And and we were that way too with music. And so when we made a band, a lot of people think it was a big risky decision, and it was, but we knew they were gonna have our backs. Like Pettisville was gonna have our backs in whatever we chose to do. So that is it brings a lot of peace.
And it's exciting for the hometown too, because there's like a blueprint kind of for how you operate in a small town. Mm-hmm. And we definitely were breaking some of that mold. And so people like took notice and were interested, and obviously they love and care about us. And so mm-hmm. they're like, "Oh, what's girl named Tom up to these days? This doing some weird stuff." But yeah, it's been, this community is such a blessing. We really appreciate everybody.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, everybody is a celebrity in a small town, right? No,
right.
You guys were locally, and now look, now you're on the national celebrity list, so it's cool. I just have one connection, Molly B. So I've watched her perform, I don't know how many times. My grandparents are huge in the polka circuit. Like they've booked her in our little town of Arcadia. They know her personally. See, she is so talented. So when that came across, I was like, no way. Like, that is crazy to me that there's a connection. Talk to me about like the musical coaches that have helped you along the way and get you to where you are today.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, probably our first musical coach would be our parents, just by coming in our bedroom at night, seeing us to sleep. We didn't even know. They weren't like the parents that were like teaching us, but they definitely surrounded us with music from day one.
Just fostered the love, yeah. Love and passion and like playing with instruments.
Yeah, playing and not, they weren't like, that's wrong ever. Mm-hmm. But the instructors, we had instructors, like piano teacher was huge. Norma Dixon taught us all piano lessons, and me and Josh were definitely like hesitant to practice. I was like, that is not the right word. The word is very
anti-practice.
Yeah, anti.
Not there. Would not be on the bench.
But Molly B was an amazing teacher, and she kind of jumped on the scene, burst on the scene. As you know, her personality is so huge, and mm-hmm. we didn't know she existed when we were young. But all of a sudden, Mom found her and was like, this would be a perfect voice teacher for you three. And that was right around the time when we started Pettisville Musicals, mm-hmm. When I was like a junior in high school. And so then Molly became all of our vocal teachers, and she was wonderful, super inspiring performer and talent. In a lot of different ways, but you know, vocally, she was our first instructor, really.
Yeah, and speaking of like national celebrities, she's a big deal across the country, and she lived on County Road A, just like right down the road from us. And so it was crazy to have such a professional instructor just right there in our small town, and we felt really lucky to know her and get taught by her, and then also Dwayne Beck, our choral instructor at Pettisville and Junior Choral Society when we were young. He fostered
kids choir.
He really fostered a love for music as well. Leadership too. He was all about kind of giving us opportunities to lead sectionals and do a bunch of stuff that I don't know what I'm saying. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with that. But yeah, he's instrumental as well.
Any other? My goal with this podcast, so I kind of want to like tell the story of Girl Named Tom, you know, especially for those people that haven't been following you along, you know, and you briefly mentioned about the origins getting started. So I want to go back in time, go back to Girl Named Tom as a band. Obviously, we've talked about the three of you so far individually, and your parents and the different instructors you've had. When did the band start? When did the three of you say, hey, why don't we like all do this together and create a band? Whose idea was it? And was there any like initial like pushback, or was it, you know, as soon as someone brought it up, light bulb went off, said, this is a great idea, and ran with it?
It was definitely a light bulb moment for all of us, because it was never something we, you know, grew up dreaming of or considering. It wasn't an option, you know, until like 3 years ago. And I was driving on the road back from college, I think. I think I was working at the time. It was after college. And it was May, so Becca was graduating soon. Josh was graduating soon. And Mom called me, Holly, and it was her idea. We had just gotten some bad news, kind of confirming that our dad was going to be in bad health for the rest of his life. That the cancer was really terminal and there was nothing we could do to stop it. And so I guess our mom had this intuition that if we would all choose different paths career-wise, like scatter across the country, she would kind of lose that support network that is our family, and we would lose each other in a way. And so she had this idea, like, could you just like hang around, be together, let's be a tight-knit family for another year yet, you know, while dad's still healthy, in relative health. Mm-hmm. And her idea was to start a band and like just start singing together. And like, why don't you just, you know, you love to travel, you love to sing. Just don't be real adults yet, you know, just put pause on your real jobs. and do this band thing for a little bit. And her idea was like for it just to happen for one year.
And then we go back to school and become doctors.
Yeah, that was her goal. And she convinced me pretty quickly. Like when she said that, like I had just been accepted into a medical school, but I wasn't feeling it. And so I was like, oh yeah, that's a light bulb moment. Like I'm into it. So then called Josh and then we called Becca.
For me, it was pretty quick. I wasn't 100% sure what I was doing with my next year. I knew I wanted a gap year between, undergrad and then grad school, whatever that would be. And, I was thinking about going to Tucson, Arizona, actually doing like voluntary service. But when he called me, I was like, yeah, no, that sounds better than voluntary service. So I was a pretty quick, convince.
Have to bend your arm backwards.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And we did make it to the good people of Tucson too, didn't we?
We did. We got to Tucson. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. And Becca was a little trickier because, you know, she had all of college before her.
Yeah. I was so excited to go to college. I really, really was. Like high school was rough for me, especially near the end. And I was just like, I just was so ready to go to college. And then Caleb called. On one of the nights of my musical, we were doing the musical Godspell, and he called me before the musical. I'll never forget this. And he was like, hey, what if we start a band? And he told me the thing that mom was saying. And I was like, my gut was instantly like, yes, that's it. It was just yes. And I tried to like, okay, let's rationalize this, you know, over the next couple of weeks, but it was sinking. It was not a sinking feeling, but like very definite yes from the first call.
Even though it really stressed you out.
Yeah.
It stressed me out because I didn't know whether to trust that, you know, like, wow, this is a dream that you've actually been sitting on for a long time. But it's not logical as you hope it is or something. I don't know.
And it was still so
much different than what you had thought, you know, it's much different than the plan that you had in your mind at that time.
Exactly. And, you know, people always ask you at the end of high school, what are you going to do with your life? What are your plans? And, you know, it felt good to me to be like, I'm going to college. I'm going to become a pediatrician.
You've been saying that since you were
I've been
seven.
Saying that since I was eighth grade. Yeah. So, yeah. It was a very different. Much. Yeah. Definitely, but
I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. That was Holly's idea. You know, and the three of you, it didn't take too much. And yeah, especially it was kind of probably perfect timing then for the three of you with, you know, Caleb and Josh being done with college and then Becca being done with high school. And it was like, okay, the next transition in your life. And then it's, you know, your mom brings up this idea. And even if, you know, funny looking back now, that it was supposed to be a short term solution. Yeah. But also really cool to see her heart in that as well. You know, just wanting the three of you to stay connected and, you know, with your dad and your parents as well. Next question I have is probably has to be the most popular question you get all the time. And that is girl named Tom, where'd it come from?
Yeah, you are right. That is the most popular question. And I'm still bad at explaining it.
It's so simple. Why do you think it's complicated?
Yeah, it's so simple. It's an old nickname. I used to call Becca Thomas when she was a baby. And
That's it. Doesn't it kind of have a classic ring to it though? Girl named Tom?
It's awesome. It's perfect.
So you called her Tom, but then who came up with the idea for that as the band name?
It was me in the shower. It's one of those shower ideas.
Great ideas come out of the shower.
Yeah.
Was there any secondary names that were considered, or is that it?
Yes, we were considering
House of Willow.
House of Willow.
Because we grew up on 78 Willow Way.
Okay.
Yeah, and I thought I would go on the internet and find one of those like name generators, you know, like what should we name our band name? Classic Gen Z. But that thing popped out, The Flight of the Burnt Orange Llama.
That so, was nice. That was an option.
Very
quickly
strong contender.
And then Dandies. You like the name
I
Dandies.
I liked the Dandies. Like,
but you kind of didn't come up with the Dandies until after we had kind of settled on Girl Named Tom, right?
Yeah. Girl and Tom.
Settling on a band name is so daunting.
Stressful.
It's so daunting. And looking back, like I'm glad that we settled on Girl Named Tom because I feel like it's really been good for our brand and represented us well. But it's so hard, and because so much branding goes into that that name, and
a name says a lot, you know, like it says a lot.
So then you guys, so you start the band, you get the name, you know, you start, I believe your first gig was at Naughty Vine Winery in Pettisville. They're on 19. So you start performing, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's what I thought. But you start performing gigs. I guess, what did it look like? Did you have to reach out to places to, you know, ask if you could come and perform? Or, like, how did it, like, you say you want to start a band, but, you know, there's not a blueprint for that. So, like, how do you start a band? You know?
We had no idea. Yeah. the Naughty Vines thing, I wasn't aware that live music was a part of the winery scene. You know,
we didn't know the winery scene at all.
We didn't know the winery scene existed. I didn't know there was a winery a mile and a half down the road from us until that moment. I knew there was grapes there, but I didn't know people went to like eat and enjoy wine and listen to good music. Once that happened, we realized, oh, so people do enjoy like live music at when they're eating in public. So then we started like emailing and finding other places like that. And then
so many emails.
Email bombing.
Yeah. That's the only thing we knew to do is bomb people with emails.
Yeah. I don't know, is 8 emails in a row like too much?
And our
they're
dad,
not responding. I don't know.
Our dad kind of played like a a dadager?
Yeah.
Dadager.
Or a momager, like playing a manager, and he would like make phone calls and
not a lot, though.
He would mostly talk to people at work and like say, like, where does live music happen around here?
Yeah.
Because none of us knew.
No.
And gradually we kind of found out, and then we got more experience.
Yeah. Growing up, like, church was always the gig, right? And then when we became a band, it's like we definitely started with churches. So even when we were going around the country, like, we would first find a church and then, like, coffee shops and surrounding things. And that's how we made it around. Mm-hmm. And then someone from that church would put us up for the night. And it was really nice. And the rest of the time, we were just in our van. But yeah, a lot of those things happened, like just by people talking to each other and spreading the word.
And hundreds of emails.
And hundreds of emails and calls.
95% of them we never got an answer on.
Yeah. Understandably.
Yeah.
Because nobody knew us.
Yeah.
Because you guys, I mean, you were traveling countrywide, correct?
Yes.
I mean, wasn't like, this was just in Ohio or anything. This was throughout the whole country.
Yeah, we've like played all of the venues in Pettisville really quick. So we had to, take our talents elsewhere.
Where do you go?
It was like, well, now we must leave. And so, yeah, we went all the way around. We made just a big circle around the whole country. Mm-hmm. Until COVID hit. We had played like 67 shows in 27 cities, mm-hmm. or 27 states. I'm not sure what our stats are, but on our website.
Yeah.
Like 36 states.
Yeah, it was remarkable. The warm reception we got, like, places, it really affirmed our belief in like humanity, honestly. Like, just how kind people were, strangers like willing to take us in for a night, and we were just overwhelmed with kindness. And it was fun. Like, these aren't your traditional gigs, right? We're not playing in theaters. We're playing oftentimes house concerts for, you know, 15 people at times, elementary schools, even retirement centers, literally anyone that would take us and listen to us, we played there. And we didn't realize it at the time, but we were just planting seeds in a lot of different communities. And we would love to see like a heat map of where we toured and where like votes came in from The Voice because I don't know. Like I think we built little communities around the country and it kind of just spread. And timing worked out pretty well that way.
And you briefly mentioned Caleb. So then COVID hits, everything shuts down, you know, travel restrictions and such. Obviously the band is still, you know, going now. So like, how did you guys pivot at that point when you couldn't travel, when you couldn't do those gigs?
Yeah. Well, I would like to say one thing. It just struck me now. We were such a young band at that time. I feel like something as huge and catastrophic as COVID would have ended a lot of young bands like us who weren't very experienced. We had other plans for our lives.
Yeah.
Why did we keep going?
Yeah.
I don't even know. But none of us like.
I think it's because we're like siblings, maybe. Because we just connected, you know, and we were at our parents' house. And, but I do remember like crying.
Yeah, that's right. It was a couple days.
During COVID, like, life is over. We're never going to be a band again. This sucks. Yeah. I remember that. Like, that was hard. But we did YouTube videos weekly. We, you know, you find little things that you can do and that feel a little normal.
Molly B and Ted Lang let us in their studio, and we did a bunch of little live shows from their studio.
Yeah, they weren't giving up, so we weren't going to give up either.
That was a good example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had a mentor, a coach who named Luke Concannon, who we met with weekly for a bit through COVID, and he kept our he allowed us to use the time as like brainstorming or like a study time, or I don't know, like planning.
Make plans, like, what do you really want from
vision,
life when everything opens up again?
That's
and just like, where do you want to be then? Where, what will you want to have prepared?
Yeah, put it in perspective, like put the year in perspective, like, okay, well, you can still have 5-year, 10-year goals that can still be intact. Like, there's so much to being a musician, and there's so many things to do all the time. And so it's one of the things that's really cool about the job. And then we could allow ourselves to really focus in on the creativity side of what it is to be a musician. Since we couldn't play any gigs except virtually, we wrote a lot of songs, which has put us in a nice position now when we're like starting to, you know, work on an album with a record label, and we don't have to start completely from scratch, be like, oh wait, we have to work on all this business side and be on the creative side as well, which we are. We're always living in between those two realms, but at least we have a start on the creative side, and it's not, that makes sense.
Well, it definitely does make sense, and that's cool that, you know, you guys have said it. I mean, I can't imagine what that was like when, in specifically for your guys' case, when COVID did hit and your plans were completely derailed. And yeah, you got to a point where it was like, we end it or we pivot. Mm-hmm. And obviously you guys, you know, chose the route of pivoting, you know, surrounded yourself with, you know, mentors and people to be able to help you during that time. And, you know, I mean, again, obviously hindsight being 2020, you look back, no pun intended, but looking back now, and, you know, I'm sure you kind of chuckle at it a little bit, but at that time it was very stressful having to make that pivot. So then you guys obviously, you know, you go on The Voice. So whose idea was it to go on The Voice? Like, where did that come from?
You know, it's funny because we've talked about Molly B. She's the person who gave us voice lessons way long ago, and she's Poco Star. And she sent me an email like back in January, and it was like, auditions are closing soon for The Voice. And
like a year ago now.
Yeah, it's about this time, a year ago. And I was like, we got to do this. We got to do something. I mean, we had been shut in the house for way too long. And I was like, boys, let's do it. And they were kind of tough to convince because it was reality TV. And they didn't think Rolling Tom was cut out for reality TV. But I thought, you know, the music is going to be what people connect with. It's not going to be our reality TV presence, you know? And in turn, I don't know.
You guys were certainly right.
I'm glad we did it.
Yeah, it was literally the last day of auditions. And she was like, guys, we don't have to go stand in a line for hours, which is usually a part of the process. Mm-hmm. We literally just set up our computer screen. And like 10 minutes before we did it, we just practiced a chorus of a song. It was just 45 seconds a couple times. And then it had like a little countdown. It was like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're on. And just right in front of the computer screen, we sang. And it felt so weird just singing in our little house. It's like a Zoom call type of thing,
but
or a virtual
gig. It was nerve-wracking even from the beginning.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking. Maybe a little
you
bit.
You were invested in it emotionally, but Josh and I weren't.
No,
so
I
was
nervous. It's like, okay.
Well, you did a good job.
And then about 10 minutes later, they were like, hey, we, you know, send us a couple more videos and fill out this paperwork. And one thing kept leading to the next. Yeah.
And every single step that we made it past, we were like so surprised. Because like even in the audition process, like before even going out to California, I was like, wait, really? They want more? Yeah. Wait, really?
But then there was
true.
But then there was a point where we were like, wait, we are a band. Like, this is what we're doing. So we probably should be making it through at least to the blind auditions.
Yeah, we've decided to make this our life's work.
We probably should.
Hey, oh, that'll be really depressing.
The blind auditions, then, you're there, all four of them turn their chairs. You know, was that almost, I'm trying to think of the right word for it. You know, a moment of like, okay, we did make the right choice. You know, we have all four options. But then also, did you know from the get-go, if you had all four, Kelly was who you wanted? Or who, you know, how was choosing which one, again, especially in your guys' case, having all four as options. But what was that like?
Yeah, choosing was hard. I mean, we couldn't believe we had all the options. Yeah. But there were no bad options, really. We went in thinking we were going to go with Blake. And then what Kelly said just really spoke to us. And so went with her, and we're really glad.
Yeah. And Ariana was like a mystery. Like we,
yeah.
I mean, obviously she's like one of the biggest pop stars on the planet, but we didn't know how she would be as a coach. So we kind of had her at the bottom of our totem pole.
so kind.
And then.
So we'll go from there.
She was never an option.
Well, the good news is that she's probably not going to watch this.
Looking back, she's a great option. Like,
she is a great,
she's a phenomenal person, a wonderful coach. She took it really seriously.
But no, yeah. We just didn't know. It was so stressful. If finding a band name was the most stressful part about creating a band, picking a coach was the most stressful part of that beginning of the voice experience, because it felt like everything rode on that decision. And when we were up there, it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
But we made the right choice.
And Kelly like told us now. She was like, oh, we all knew you were going to make it the finale.
Wow.
Like from the first. And we were like, what? She's like, I just wanted you to be on my team. But we knew whatever team you were on, you were going to make it. We were like, what?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So cool.
So for you guys, then, I mean, I guess you briefly mentioned there, Becca, but like at what point did you realize like, hey, we're really starting to pick up momentum here? Like, again, especially as a trio. You know, and being on The Voice, and, you know, there was, you know, once you started breaking records as far as the trio and the farthest they've gone, and then even got to the point, you know, being on iTunes, you know, absolutely surreal moment, I'm sure, for you guys to see Girl Named Tom, then Adele, then Taylor Swift. And it's like, what? Like, these are global icons, and you guys are, you know, number one, number five, whatever. I'm sure it's a real moment. So like at what point was it for you guys, or maybe it wasn't, maybe it, you know, you rode the whole way thinking, how are we here? But at what point, you know, did you feel like you were building momentum and like, we got a shot at this?
Dust in the Wind was the moment where we, that was our first studio recording, which was a really cool part of the process. We got to go to one of these like really, really nice LA studios. And we recorded in there, and the folks really liked it there. And then it came out and kind of rocketed on the charts. And then and that performance went really well, or the reception was really good. And at that point we were like, wow, we might be onto something here.
Because it's a popularity contest. Like, we never thought we were the best vocalists on the show ever. But once we saw that, and honestly, we even sang Dust in the Wind, like, and that's when it confirmed for us. But when Wichita Lineman aired, like, we had to wait. We performed that way back in like June or July. But once that aired in October, and the reception was incredible with that old song that I didn't personally think people would care about that much, but people just loved that. And watching us, and I got chills watching us, and I was like, whoa, yeah, there's nothing that sounds like this on this show. Maybe if people are hungry for this, we got more like this, so we might go somewhere.
And we really thought we messed up Wichita linemen when we actually did it. So we were very pleasantly surprised.
We were so glad.
Watching it back.
What did you think you messed up about it? Because it was like perfect for a guy like me that doesn't know music. Like deeply.
Oh, man. I mean, we're our own worst critics, of course. But
Like changed the melody line.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you practice it so many times, you know, like the same way. And then when something happens on that stage and you're like, oh, my word, my mind is gone.
Yeah, like Caleb came in on an entrance like a little bit late. Okay. And it was like half a second. No,
this is how psycho we are.
And the Wichita lineman.
And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. All I said was, the Wichita lineman is still on the line. And we all thought we were going to lose the show because I missed Ann.
I almost came in. I almost started singing.
Josh was like, I might have to sing this line for Caleb because he's not going to sing.
I was like, no.
And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And all I did was Ann.
We were like,
so no one else knows, but we literally thought we were going to lose the show.
It's over.
We were going to get sent home.
So your thought is that they're going to pick that up and you're going to lose because of that one word?
Yeah.
Dealing with one word.
Our minds just like blew up.
It blew that little tiny thing way out of proportion.
Dude, I watched it and I got goosebumps from it because the vocals are so good. Like, see, I would never know that.
Thank you.
As a fan. Like, it's wild. That's so
behind
cool.
Behind the scenes.
That's sweet. Yeah. And that happened, moron.
I mean, yeah, like you said, you know, being your own biggest critic and you guys know in every single detail, and that just shows the perfectionist characteristics that the three of you have. I'm sure individually then as a band as well, and just wanting to make sure everything, every little and is perfect the entire time.
For sure.
So what was it, you know, I guess, you know, Josh and Caleb, you guys briefly mentioned about the reality TV part of it. I'm interested, what was it like performing? You know, you guys were doing the gigs before, so you're performing and obviously a lot of focus on the music. Now you're on reality TV on The Voice and you are performing and there's the music part of it, but there's also an entertainment value that, you know, specifically I think of when you guys did Coldplay, you know, and Caleb and Josh, you guys running around dancing, drumming and such, and like having more of a focus of the entertainment, not in comparison, but more than what you were used to with the entertainment compared to that. Was that a seamless transition? You know, you kind of just like let your body move to the music, or was that potentially maybe Kelly saying, hey, this is on TV, we need to have a little bit more of an entertainment? Like, what was that like? Because The Voice was probably much different than what you guys were used to in your previous band gigs and such.
Yeah. They called that week Challenge Week in The Voice. And so it really made great sense to go out and do like a big number like that and really show that, you know, The Voice, we got a lot of energy and we kind of treated it like a theater performance, mm-hmm. Or theatrical.
And we've all done theater in the
past. We love theater. So it was kind of fun. It was definitely very out of our like box, but we tried to make it as Girl Named Tom as possible.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Musically, it was so different than anything that we had done. And
visually.
When we got the song, when we got the song, we got our heads together at first and we were like, you know, well, how are we going to slow this down? How are we going to make it GNT and like sad and weird? And then the music director.
Yeah, the music director came up after our final rehearsal for Dust in the Wind. We already knew that we were going to do Coldplay the next week if we made it. And he came up and was like, so what are you thinking about that Coldplay song? And I was like, yeah, I got this cool guitar riff. It's really sad. Like, we love it. It'll be beautiful. We'll make it beautiful. And he's like, well, we have like a dozen battle drums we're going to rent out. So what are you thinking? Maybe you use those. And we're like, what? No.
Like, you have all of these creative teams and
production,
literally construction people that open up this ginormous door and put any set you want in there. Why are you not using it? Kind of.
Yeah, he was like, why? Like,
go big.
you got all this production and we're paying for it. Like, the show is paying for it. So you should experiment with stuff. Go crazy.
And we're glad we did, because now, like, going into our future shows, we do want to incorporate some elements of big numbers, you
high
know,
energy.
And more visually pleasing, like high energy things to, like, you know, instead of just like all sad or soft songs.
And it was our saving grace on that song.
Exactly.
Because vocally, we're never going to sing that song you know, it's not like a super girl named Tom like song. And so it, we can't really compete vocally on
our vocals sucked on it. Yeah, Josh with that song.
But we can make it look good, and we can make our movements confident, you know, and just show the audience that, you know, yeah, maybe vocally, we're having fun.
It was fun.
Like,
it was powerful.
This is high energy. You're going to have fun if you come to a G&T show someday. And
It was one of our least favorite vocal performances of all time, and yet people still talk about it a lot. So that goes to what you're saying, Dom, about the entertainment value is a whole lot of the equation.
That's right.
And then you guys, you win The Voice, obviously. What, I mean, obviously you had a little bit of time to process it now, and I'm sure you're probably potentially still struggling to find the right words for it. But what was it like to be announced and to win The Voice? Especially when you guys have said this whole time, you were like, we don't know how we got here. And then you end up winning. So what was that like?
I mean, the people chose the winner, right? So it's just another confirmation that we're connecting with people. And that's really what we're set out to do. Use our gifts, share our music, to sing to people's hearts. And I think that was just another like nail in our Girl Named Tom that doesn't make it.
Validation.
Talk about confidence. Yeah.
Nail in the validation.
Validation. Yeah.
But like the Voice family was so tight knit, and you know, as people kept leaving, you know, the fewer people were there, the closer that those people got. And I would say that it was going to be a celebration regardless of who won that night. And it really was like, we didn't feel any animosity at all from any of the other contestants. And it would have been the same way had somebody else won. Like, it was just going to be a celebratory night on that finale day.
And I would add, we were all telling ourselves that winning didn't mean anything at that point. Like, we'd all been on television a lot. We were making a lot of connections. Second, third, fifth, 10th place would have been a win for us. But winning the show has opened a lot of doors. Mm-hmm. And it definitely, I don't know, somehow put us on another level professionally in the industry that I didn't realize was going to happen, honestly. So I'm grateful for that. And we're grateful for the platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it gives you instant validation, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to explain yourself. It kind of talks for you, for sure.
Yeah, true. For sure. And we've invested so much. You know, we talk about coming from a small town, working so hard at practicing our craft. And then, you know, so it's kind of like those investments returning, I guess, a little bit later.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Where's the trophy at today?
It's in California.
It's in rough shape. It's had a rough month.
We actually don't have it yet.
Put stickers all over it.
Yeah, I think they're probably gonna like ingrain our name or something on it. I don't know.
We've already held the trophy once on TV, but we had held it with Cam Anthony. We met the
2020
season 20 winner of The Voice on a plane. He sat by Josh and he let us hold it. And he just received it like that day or that week. Wow. He had it on his carry-on.
Yeah. And that was August.
Yeah. So it'll take, we're expecting like it to be 6 months till we actually get this trophy done. So we'll show it to you when we get it.
It's awesome. So great.
That's cool. Well, I have just a couple more questions for you. I want to be respectful of your time here. and as we start to wrap down the show then. So obviously we've talked about, you know, the past and getting started, Girl Named Tom, The Voice. You know, so what does, I guess you briefly mentioned, but what does the future look like from here? As Girl Named Tom, what's the next step? What's the next 1 to 2 steps that you guys are working on?
Well, you know, we've set our sights high and we want to be the harmony trio of this generation.
Wow.
And yeah.
Yeah. And so what that looks like for the now is getting a single released as quickly as possible of our original music, because we're songwriters and that's what we want to be known for. You know, if you go to our Wikipedia page when we're all retired and old, we want that to be the number one thing rather than The Voice being the number one thing. Right.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good way to put it.
We have a big album. I mean, an album that we're
excited about,
and we're going to be performing in amazing venues. And yeah, just a lot of, it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of traveling, a lot of writing new music as well as releasing what we have written and working with other songwriters too. We have plans to move to Nashville and get into the scene down there.
The last few weeks, we've been building our team of like management, booking agents, lawyers, like lots of the business side of what it means.
And that's great. You know, everybody who's given us advice from experience is telling us, like, surround yourself with good people so that they can take care of what they need to and you can just do the music and the creativity. Mm-hmm. So
that's the goal.
That is very nice to have that.
So it sounds like what you guys are most focused on is that Wikipedia page.
Yes.
That's the number one focus right now. Writing your Wikipedia biography someday.
But The Voice has been a great stepping stone. But, you know, people tell us all the time, it's not your destination.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
The last question for you then, you know, this podcast, we have a strong emphasis on the community. You know, we briefly talked about it at the very beginning, you know, but you guys have the community in Northwest Ohio, in the Pettisville area, you know, Josh and Caleb, you guys have the community in Goshen, you know, community obviously can be anywhere that we are in our lives. So in a little more in detail, what has the community been like, especially during this time, you know, on The Voice, and how important has that community support been?
Yeah, we love this theme of your podcast, because it's what we're about. And whether it's in Pettisville or whether it's in Vermont or like Austin, Texas, we feel like we've got these little clumps of GNT community. And our folks back home in Pettisville were the OGs, you know? they believed in us back when no one else knew about us and we were just the Lichty kids, and we still feel like we are. And so we love Pettisville, and we got to go back and play and sing and talk with some of the students at the high school, which was just so powerful for us. And that's the kind of thing we want to keep doing moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, we are who we are because of people who have affirmed and believed in us. And so I would just encourage people to keep doing that. Keep lifting each other up and shine the spotlight on other people.
I thought it was cool. I loved at Halloween seeing pictures like on Facebook of like three kids dressed as the three of you. Yeah. Halloween. That was awesome.
Cool. So cute.
Did you mean?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Really appreciate the three of you and your time. Jump on this podcast and just, yeah, kind of highlight your guys' story. You know, awesome story. Cool that it all started, you know, with Holly's idea, you know, passing down to you, Caleb, and then you had to convince the other two to join along. And it has been, you know, a great, I'm sure it has been a great and successful and a fun path so far, and excited, you know, what you said, Becca, this is just the start. Like winning The Voice is just the start. You know, just jumping on that trampoline and, you know, seeing where you guys can go from here. So thank you for your time and good luck in future endeavors.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Dom and Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you guys.
Likewise.
This has been the Hometown Highlights Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation. For similar interviews, you can subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. Thanks for your time, and we look forward to the next show.